And we want to notice a passage in the 6th chapter of John, beginning with verse 53. Well, I believe I'll back up here and read a few more verses ahead of that. I'll begin reading with verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. That's reading from verse 48 through verse 58 of the 6th chapter of John. Now the main thrust of this passage is receiving Christ. He presents himself here as the bread of life and as the living bread, and that we may eat of him and live forever. I'm reminded of Brother Annest, who was a native of Greece. And when he was a young man, he came from Greece to this country. He didn't know a thing about the gospel or about God, but he said he had a vision one night of just an arm reaching down from above, and there was a loaf of bread in it, just being held out to him. Well, he didn't know what it meant, but it was only about the next Sunday or two he went to church. And he heard the minister preach about the bread of life. And he says, that's it. That was the bread of life being held out to me. And he just opened his heart and received the bread of life into his soul and was saved. Now Jesus is offering himself to every person. The bread of life. You may eat of this bread and live forever, eternal life. And he says, that's what I am. Then he said, he turned to the thought in the 53rd verse of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. The sense of this is receiving Christ, being a partaker of Christ. And I wonder if it isn't possible that it means much more to actually be a partaker of Christ in a real sense, a very real sense, than what maybe we comprehend it does. Maybe we just kind of skim the surface a little bit. But I get the idea from this passage of Scripture that receiving Christ in a very real sense is a deep reality. It's something beyond the ordinary. Now, he spoke of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. We know we don't do that literally. But the sense of this passage is our being a partaker of Christ in every phase of what that means. His flesh and his blood. What the body of Christ means to us. What the blood of Christ means to us. And what was accomplished through the broken body and the shed blood of the Son of God. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, he presents there, that's the outline, and that's the institution of the first Passover supper. And he gave the instructions about it. And that Passover supper was a type of Christ. Paul says in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now they had a lamb for each house. And none of that, the flesh of that lamb was to be carried forth out of that house. Also, the blood was to be sprinkled on the doorposts and on the lintel as a protection from the death angel that was to pass through the lamb that night. Also, all of that lamb was to be eaten in one night, none of it to remain over till the next day. All of these things are important. And another thing about it was that there was to be no leaven eaten with it. They were to eat bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And it specifies that if leaven were found anywhere in their camp, that those where the leaven was found in their tents would be cut off from among the people. Now this is all important. God gave us one lamb for one house. Christ was the Paschal lamb, the Lamb of God, that he gave to us for our Passover. And the blood is to be sprinkled upon our hearts and upon our minds as a safeguard against death that's sweeping through the land. He's talking about eternal life. And that we can live on in the midst of death sweeping through the land. Spiritual death. There's a spiritual life. One lamb for one house, that signifies that God just has one house. And in the third chapter of 1 Timothy in verse 15, that house is called the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's God's house. The church of the living God. Now, since God gave only one lamb, there's only one Jesus, one Christ, one Savior, one Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Since he gave only one lamb, there was to be a lamb to a house. That signifies that God just has one house. The house of God is the church. He just has one church. One body of Christ. Then none of the flesh of that lamb was to be carried forth out of that house. The scripture says, all my springs are in thee, O Zion. It's right in God's house where the spiritual blessings flow in abundance. And God is reserving his choice favors and blessings to people that will come into his house through faith in Christ. Then there was none of it to remain over until the morning. It was all to be eaten in one night. And they were to eat it with their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand and ready to travel. That was the night they were going to leave Egypt. God does not want you and me leaving any of his will for today over until tomorrow. Eat it today. Accept it now. Do the will of God at the present. Then do it as the future comes. As time rolls around, do what is presented as the will of God then. But it was to be eaten in one day, and you and I are to eat day by day of the will of God in our lives, and not putting it off until tomorrow. Then it was to be eaten with unleavened bread. There was to be no leaven at all in their bread or found in their tents. And where Paul makes a reference to Christ our Passover being sacrificed for us, he proceeds to say, let us therefore keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The sense of it is that as we eat of Christ, our Passover, we must do so with a heart full of forgiveness toward all men. He spoke of unforgiveness, malice, as leaven, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness. That must all be laid aside and no malice found in the hearts of any of the saints. If we have any ill will or any hard feelings or any unforgiveness toward any of our brethren, let's earnestly seek God to save us from it. Deliver us from that. Because as we eat of Him, we must do so with a heart full of forgiveness toward all men. No leaven at all to be found in our camps. Now He said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Being a partaker of Christ is the only source of life, eternal life, spiritual life, that we have. We have a text in the 5th chapter of 1 John, verse 11. He said, and this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son hath not life. That's plain and simple, just as straight as I know how to put it. It's all wrapped right up in Him. We have life or we don't, depending on whether we have Christ or we don't. Now He said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now the form of the verb here is that signifies a continuance. Something always going on. Something always present. Eateth. Not that he ate. Not that he's going to eat. But he eateth. And he is perpetually, continually eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. Being a partaker of Christ in all of his aspects. Christ and his cross, as well as Christ in His crown. We would all rejoice in partaking of Christ in His crown and Christ in His glory and Christ in His blessings, but we cannot separate that from Christ in His cross and Christ in His humiliation and Christ in His shame. They're inseparable. We eat of the whole Christ. The whole lamb was to be eaten in one night, none of it left over until the morning. We partake of the whole Christ, Christ in His cross as well as Christ in His crown, Christ in His sufferings as well as Christ in His glory. Paul said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. Now, deny is set over in contradistinction here against suffering. In other words, if we refuse to suffer with Him, He will deny us. We must take Christ and His suffering, Christ and His cross, Christ and His humiliation, Christ and His shame and reproach. Accept it all. Take the full Christ. Paul asked the question at one time, is Christ divided? He never answered it, but the inferred answer would be no. Christ is not divided. Not divided. Christ and His glory isn't divided from Christ and His suffering. Christ and His crown's not divided from Christ and His cross. We must be a partaker of the whole Christ, and that continually. Eateth. Not ate, but eateth. A continual process of eating and partaking of Christ. Now, what we eat is taken into our body and through a process of the digestion and assimilation, it becomes absorbed up into our body until it becomes inseparable from our body. It actually is our body. A book on diet and health, the title of it is You Are What You Eat. And that's very much true. You see, what we eat, all the cells of our body are replenished from day to day by the food that we eat and the water we drink and the air we breathe. And that keeps up the renewal in our body. Then, as we receive of Christ, it has the same spiritual signification as our receiving food into our bodies, and we absorb that up into our bodies till it becomes our body. Part of the food you eat makes bone. Part of it makes marrow. Part of it makes blood. Part of it makes nerves. Part of it makes flesh. Part of it makes skin. Part of it makes hair. Part of it makes fingernails and toenails. That's the food you eat and the water you drink and the air you breathe. That's making all of that. You are what you eat. You are what you eat spiritually too. If you're eating of Christ, then you are receiving Him up into your spiritual being, assimilating Him, absorbing Him, till He becomes inseparable from you, and He becomes your life. That's what the Bible said. Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Christ becomes our very life and inseparable from us if we receive Him in the real, genuine sense as of eating and of drinking. Now there's a text, you see, He spoke of Him being the bread, and it's just Christ in us is equivalent to the leaven in bread. Jesus spoke about the leaven and the bread in one of His parables in the 13th chapter of Matthew. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a woman that took leaven, which she hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Now that's just the way Christ permeates the being of a person that is continually eating of Christ, receiving Him, absorbing Him, assimilating Him up into our very spiritual nature and spiritual being. It's just like leaven hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Now man in a very intricate sense is a threefold being. Jesus said she hid the leaven in 3 measures of meal. We ordinarily think of ourselves as twofold beings, an inward man and an outward man, a soul and a body, flesh and spirit. But there is, in some technical sense, a threefold something about us. Paul says, I pray God your whole soul, spirit, and body. Now he makes a distinction there of soul and spirit. Now don't ask me to explain that, because I can't explain that. But he makes a distinction there between the soul and the spirit and says, I pray God that your whole soul, spirit, and body. Three parts to us. Again, in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, in about verse 12, he said, The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, what this leaven does, you who bake bread, you know how the leaven works. You put the leaven in there and it just works out through that dough until when it has done its work, every bit of that dough is affected with that leaven. And when the process is finished and the loaf is baked, you could not get one little pinch over that loaf without getting some of that leavenness through it all. And that's just the way Christ permeates the being of those who receive Him into their being, equivalent to eating and drinking, and absorb Him and assimilate Him up into their spiritual system. He just permeates every part of your life, soul, spirit, body, and mind, every part of your being, until anybody that has any contact with your life in any capacity at all are going to get some of that essence of Jesus. Now that's what He wants out of you and me. He said no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself, and we're all exerting an influence with every life we touch and everybody we meet or associate with, and He wants it to be a Jesus influence, a Christly influence. And everybody that touches our lives in whatever capacity or whatever area of our lives, they'll get some of that Jesus. It'll be manifest there. Now, we have a text in the first chapter of Ephesians in verse 22. And incorporate 23 along with that. He says that He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Now, I made reference a while ago to our body, the cells of our body being replenished day by day and renewed by the food we eat and the water we drink and the air we breathe. The spiritual system is the same, and He says, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. The spiritual cell, so to speak, of our spiritual being is renewed and replenished day by day as we continue to eat of Christ and to digest Him. I might add at that point that it isn't the food that you eat that strengthens you and builds you, but it's the food that you digest and that you absorb into your body that rebuilds and replenishes the cells of that body. Food taken into the system that lies there undigested will breed disease rather than health. And it will cause trouble. It's the same way in the spiritual life. The things that we take in of Christ and of His truth and of His Word that we fail to digest and absorb and assimilate up into our spiritual system, it's going to affect us with dyspepsia after a while, and indigestion, and make us trouble. We need to keep our spiritual system in good working order, that the food from God's Word and the influence of His Spirit that enters into our spiritual being can be readily digested and absorbed and assimilated up into our being, and the inward man renewed day by day. Now in this first chapter of Ephesians, He said He gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Folks, can we grasp that? I dare say we can't. I dare say we don't. I won't say that we can't, but I have a little hesitancy to say that we do. Perhaps we don't, in the full sense, grasp and comprehend what the church is and what the body of Christ is and our part in it and the place that we fill in being the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Now what that means actually would be that we were able to manifest in our midst, among us, in the body of Christ, and in our own lives, the fullness of His love and the fullness of His power and the fullness of His grace and the fullness of His victory and of all of His attributes, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. The body of Christ in the earth today is just as complete as the body of Christ that walked the shores of Galilee. That is in the plan of God. It depends upon us and our capacity to grasp and receive and be exercised in and to manifest all of these divine virtues and graces of God, what it actually is in actuality, but in the plan of God and in His will and what God has provided for us, if we'll grasp it and can just go down and get it, is that we today in the body of Christ possess the fullness of divine grace and power and victory and love and all the attributes, the divine attributes of God. Now in the third chapter of Ephesians, in verse 17, I'll begin with verse 14 to read down and pick up the thought here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that a grand picture? But I've been telling you, and I've told you numbers of times, and I believe this, and I'm going to tell you again right now, that everything that's mentioned in the New Testament is available to you and me if we'll just go down and get it. If we will just humble our hearts and press our case before God, we can come into possession of anything that's available to you and me, anything that's written in the New Testament. Now he said that ye may be able to comprehend. Now, comprehend is a compound word. It's composed of the Latin prefix com, meaning with, and the Latin word prehendo or prehendare, meaning to seize upon, and the literal interpretation of it is that ye may be able to seize upon together with all of the saints. Now this is something that God has for all of the saints, nobody excluded, but everybody may be able to seize upon together with all the other saints the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And that doesn't make a bit of sense, does it? Know something that passes knowledge. How could that be? Well, as far as the human is concerned, it does pass their knowledge. But within the realm of God's anointing and God's grace and God's provision for the saints, he imparts an ability to comprehend the love of Christ, which passeth far beyond the knowledge of natural men and their reasoning. And that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There that is again. And he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And folks, let me tell you, that's the whole thing in a nutshell right there. And it all depends upon the indwelling Christ. Everything else is a sham and a humbug. But the indwelling Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And Paul said to the Galatian brethren that Christ in you is your hope of glory. That's the only hope of glory that we have, is Christ in us. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verses 3 and 4. He's talking here about the wife's adornment. And don't try to win your husband with outward adornment, plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, and so on. Don't try to win him that way, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, that's valuable stuff there. Meek and quiet spirit. That's valuable. That's more than the wearing of gold and putting on of flashy apparel and costly raiment and so on. That's more than all that. Just the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. In the sight of God, that is of great price. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, he says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God in us, Christ in you, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Christ in us right here in this life, dwelling right in our bodies. And Paul spells it out in black and white. In this epistle, he said, your bodies are the temple of God. And Christ dwelling right in these bodies, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Christ, who is our life, Colossians 3:4 again. When he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Those people used clay vessels to cure their olives in. And he spoke here of an earthen vessel. Now, when the earthen vessel was new, they cured olives in it, and the olives would come out with a taste of the vessel on them. But after the vessel had been used a few seasons, all the pores of that earthenware became well sealed and well closed. And then the vessel ceased to tell what it was made of. They cured olives in it, and it had no vessel taste. No earthenware taste. That's what God wants out of you and me, folks. You take a new convert that hasn't learned the ways of the Lord too much yet, and Christ in him, all right, but he gets some of the vessel in there too sometimes. He gets some of the self manifest in there, in the things that he does and the things that he says and so on. Well, the vessel shows up there some. But you just get that fella a little more seasoned and he learns a little bit more about God and about how to serve him and let God work in him to will and to do of his good pleasure, and after a while the vessel ceases to tell what it's made of. It's Christ that is manifest rather than the self that is in us. And Peter said in 2 Peter, the first chapter in the 19th verse, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's Christ. The day star is Christ. Jesus said in the Revelation, the second chapter in the 26th verse, to him that overcometh will I give the morning star. Christ is the morning star. He said in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 16, I am the bright and the morning star. And Peter says, ye do well that ye take heed unto this more sure word of prophecy until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Christ arises in your heart and is manifest in your inner being and in your life. The day dawn, the entrance of thy word giveth light, the psalmist said. And as we give heed to this more sure word of prophecy that's given us in the New Testament scriptures, the day will dawn, the day will brighten, the path of the justice is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The day will brighten, the day star, the bright and the morning star, Jesus, will arise in our hearts. That's where we get Jesus, and that's where Jesus gets us, as we give heed to this more sure word of prophecy, and as we walk in the light of His truth. Amen.